Our text this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, beginning with verse 15. And feel free to take that along, take that out and follow along if you would like. But just know that we're not going to get there for a little bit. So don't worry, we'll get there. But before we get started, would you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, we come before you in awe of who you are and in a desire to be the people that you have called us to be. Open our eyes that we may see, open our ears that we may hear, and meet us in the very place in which we are. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've ever really thought about it before. I'm hoping you haven't. But there's a lot of similarity between sermons and TV dinners. I know, I said you probably wouldn't have thought of it before. I hope not. If someone has, we can talk afterward, set up some counseling. But a TV dinner comes, at least the way I remember it. I have to say I haven't eaten a TV dinner in a long time. It comes all neatly packaged, little compartments. There's the one compartment for your mashed potatoes, and then the gravy, so you can slop the gravy over into the mashed potatoes once it's hot. And there's the other little compartment for the meatloaf. And then, of course, there's a compartment for mushy green beans. And my uncle is here with us this morning, and he loves mushy green beans. So he likes that part. And then there's always the little compartment for the dessert or the treat. And so you open it, you heat it up, you open it up, and there it is, ready to go. Everything nice and neat, decently and in order. It almost makes you wonder if Presbyterians invented TV dinners. But our text for this morning, it's no TV dinner, unfortunately. And see, with a TV dinner, you forget about what went into the preparation because you have the nice, neat little compartments. You forget that there was a process, right, of getting that meatloaf in there. I might not want to know what the process is, but of getting the mashed potatoes. And a lot of times when we hear sermons, we hear the TV dinner. It's already nice and neat and packaged up for us, little bite-sized pieces ready to go. But we miss out a lot of times on what happened to get to that point. Well, our text this morning doesn't give us that luxury. It throws us right in the middle of, how do you get to that point? How do you make sense? What's going on before it gets all neat and tidy? Let me give you a little bit of background before we take a look at the text. It's from Deuteronomy, which is the fifth book of the Old Testament, fifth book of Moses. And basically the whole book of Deuteronomy is Moses preparing the people to enter the promised land and reviewing with them who they have been in the past, who God has called them to be, and giving them instructions of who they need to be when they enter the promised land. Now you see, Moses isn't going to be going with them. So this is Moses' last shot to give all those instructions. Kind of reminds me of a child getting ready to go off to college, and her parents say, all right, well, remember who you are. You know, remember who we've raised you to be. And by the way, here's your list of instructions before you go. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I'm glad that my list of instructions wasn't 34 chapters long. I used to accuse my dad of making the list rather long, but this is a 34 chapter long list of instructions. And we drop down right in the middle of that. And so let's listen to what Moses is saying to the people. And it's Moses that's speaking as we read this text. Beginning in verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people, and you shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, if I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore or ever again see this great fire, I will die. Then the Lord replied to me, Moses, they're right in what they've said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. This is the word of the Lord. Now, this is the lectionary text for today. It's the text that's assigned to today. There's a gospel text, there's a New Testament text, there's a psalm, and there's an Old Testament passage. In thinking about it as I was preparing for the sermon, I'm not sure it's a good idea to pick a text that says, by the way, if you don't speak God's word, you'll die. Not a good choice as a preacher. So Moses is the one giving these instructions. This is the same Moses that talked to God in the burning bush, that led the people out of Egypt, that held up his arms and the Red Sea was parted and the people went through on dry land. Their very leader, and he wasn't going to be going with them into the promised land. Now, remember that TV dinner? Well, I was all ready with this sermon, with this text, to have it nice and neat, laid out for you in little bite-sized pieces so that you could unwrap it and eat it all up. It's a perfect text, really. Moses, the leader of the people, giving them instructions. They're preparing to enter the promised land. It's got a lot of good emotion about it. He talks about a prophet. There will be another. Someone is going to come and lead you. Listen to that person. Now, we are in a church. We are followers of Jesus. It's not a hard jump to say, hey, I know who the prophet is. I got it. I know the answer. It's Jesus. Which is not a bad interpretation. Peter himself makes that very interpretation of this exact text in one of his sermons in the book of Acts. But there was just one problem with that, is that there was something that bugged me in the text. Now, I'm not sure if you're allowed to have things bug you, so maybe it fascinated me. Something just wasn't right. It didn't sit right. I wasn't able to make sense of it. And all of a sudden, instead of eating that TV dinner, I kind of felt like I was plopped right into the mashed potatoes and gravy trying to find my way out. I don't know if you noticed it, but let me read the verse for you that sort of threw me into this quandary. It's verse 16, and Moses says, "This is what you, the people, requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore or ever again see this great fire, I will die.'" They didn't want to hear God. They were actually asking God not to talk to them anymore. I mean, maybe I'm not reading it right, but it looks like they said, you know what, we heard God, and that was plenty. Thanks, we're done. We'd rather not talk to God anymore. Who wouldn't want to talk to God? I would want to talk to God. I mean, I'm always thinking, I wish that I could hear from God. I wish I could find a sign. I have to admit that I even take that to a level that's a little disturbing with license plates. I am so eager to find a sign that I look to license plates to give me that sign. Now, I don't look to the content, so it's not, you know, whatever said on the personalized plate. It's just the state. And let me give you an example of this. When I was preparing to go to seminary, or trying to decide if I'd go to seminary in Princeton, New Jersey, I lived in Redondo Beach. And whenever I would see a New Jersey license plate, I would say, see, right there, it's a sign from God. I need to go to Princeton. No joke. A friend of mine, after hearing this a number of times and finally probably reached the limit, said, maybe it's a sign that everyone from New Jersey is moving to California. Either way, seemed like a sign to me. But these people actually heard God speak. And they heard God and they said, no thanks, we don't want any more of that. I was fascinated. That it just doesn't seem to fit. I mean, today, much of American Christianity or spirituality, we're searching for God. We're trying to find who is God, where is God, how can I talk to God? They heard God and they said no more. I couldn't get myself out of it. I couldn't find a way out. I was stuck. So I thought, well, let me look to the experts. Let's see what the experts have to say about this passage. And so the first experts I looked to were people that write commentaries. So these are biblical Old Testament scholars who spend their life studying things like this. And lo and behold, two of the Deuteronomy commentaries were by people that are just my favorite authors and professors. I was so excited. Okay, they're going to have the answer. I can't wait. Let's find out, why would someone not want to talk to God? Well, I got both the commentaries, and I opened them up, and I found the right place, and there was nothing. Not a mention about this. It was as if it didn't even exist. I started thinking, maybe I'm really off here. Maybe that doesn't matter at all. But I wasn't really ready to give in that quickly. So I went to the next expert, Google. You would be disturbed and amazed to know how many websites there are out there with the general theme of desperate preacher. Preach at the last minute, desperate preacher, so you need a sermon. I mean, it's all out there. I did consider just finding something and being done with the whole thing and, you know, calling it a day. But there are also a number of sites that give commentary and perspective, and I look through them and not a one mentioned this. No one seemed to care that people don't want to talk to God. It wasn't okay with me. So I thought, you know, maybe I should find out what happened at Horeb. Because it says, this is what you requested of the Lord at Horeb. I wonder what happened that day. Maybe I should find out. And sure enough, if you look back in Deuteronomy, in the fifth chapter, beginning at verse 22, it tells the story. Verse 26 says, and this is in the voice of the people, "For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of fire as we have and remained alive? You, Moses, go near and hear all that the Lord our God will say. And then you can tell us everything that the Lord our God tells you, and we will listen and do it." So it wasn't a desire not to hear, but it was a desire not to have direct communication with God. It still seemed weird to me. I thought, I wonder what happened. What happened? What precipitated that response in them? And so I looked back in the story a little further, and you know what the event was that made these people say, "God, we don't want to talk to you anymore?" Was a little-known event that you may have heard of called the giving of the Ten Commandments. Now, this has got to be one of the premier religious events in all of history. I mean, God gives these Ten Commandments, these stone tablets, to Moses in fire on a mountain. I mean, talk about your religious experience. That ranks right up there. If I could have seen the giving of the Ten Commandments, I mean, I'm sure I would want more of that. How could you not? If hearing God were that easy, that would be fantastic. I would love it. If only I could hear from God in the fire and the cloud and the thick darkness. And yet they do, the people of Israel do, and they say no thanks. We don't want that anymore. We're afraid. Now, if I were God, just had this big show for everyone, I brought fire and clouds and some darkness and some stone tablets. Hey, here I am. I'm ready to talk to you. I'm ready to give you this covenant that's going to be defining in who you are as a people. I might be a little offended. Like, I put on this big show, and your response is, "See you later, we don't want any more." I might be tempted to think it was a little bit rude. It's a good thing for all of us that I'm not God, because that's not how God responds. God's response is to agree. The Lord said, "They are right in what they have said. Another translation translates it as, that's a good thing that they said. Wait a second. They don't want to hear from God. They don't want to talk to God directly. They don't want this direct contact with God. And that's good. And that's okay. I was stuck. I couldn't get out of that point. It just didn't make sense to me. Why is this okay? Why would people not want to hear God? Why do we today want to hear God and we can't? I couldn't find my way out. I was stuck in those mashed potatoes. And the more I tried to get out, it was like quicksand. I just kept getting deeper and deeper in. They were afraid. They didn't want to hear God. They wanted someone to speak on their behalf. I was really frustrated. I have to come up with a sermon. I've got to be able to say something about this. It can't just end like that. It can't be messy. We've got to make sense of it. It needs to be decently and in order. So I thought, well, you know what? God's a God about process. God took the people of Israel into the wilderness for 40 years, made them wander around just so that they could get to know God. So maybe it's just about the process, and the process is what's important, and we all know it's not about the final destination, it's what you do from here to there that matters. Okay, it seemed all right. I mean, that could work in a pinch. Needed to be able to say something. But it still didn't really seem to make any sense. And in the midst of that being stuck, feeling like, this is too much of a struggle. Maybe I should change texts. Maybe I could find something else to talk about. Out of sort of nowhere, I realized that it's not a story about the people. It's a story about God. And that changed everything for me. Because the people say, you know what? It's too much. We're scared. They weren't trying to be obnoxious or, you know, disobedient. They were just scared. And God says, that's okay. That's right. You're right. And that's good. You know what I'm going to do? Is I'm not going to leave you in that place of being scared. I'm not going to turn away and say, well, if you don't want to talk to me in fire, you don't get to talk to me at all. No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to speak to you through one who is like you. And that was Moses for the period of this time. But Moses isn't going to be with you anymore. And so what I'm going to do is I will raise up those like Moses, one like Moses, and I will speak to you, and you will hear my word through one who is like you. One from within your midst, one who will speak on my behalf. The story is not about the people. The story is about God. The God who refuses to let us be on our own, who time after time after time in the scriptures in both the Old Testament and the New, every time that we turn away or that we're afraid or that we want to go in another direction says, actually, I love you. And I'm going to keep doing what it takes to be in communication with you. It's that God who speaks to us in Deuteronomy. It's that God who we know in Jesus Christ. And it's that God who we say, speak, Lord, for we are listening. Amen.